following production of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
The following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
Newton in the pocket, pressured and hit, and down he goes!
Von Miller!
He is devoured on the plate!
Von Miller!
Von Miller!
That's super defense!
The Denver Broncos are world champions.
Who cares?
It'll be interesting to see how Peyton handles this.
I'm going
to
drink a lot of Budweiser tonight.
What's the score?
Give me an F. Give me a C plus. I mean, I don't really, it doesn't matter.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Romo's got a run out and is hit in the back. Oh, he's hurt. He got bent in half, and Tony Romo's hurt.
What do you think?
We'll go balls out with this.
We don't have time for all that.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
I only can control what I can control. I only can, you know, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Football's become soft. Football's become soft like our country has become soft.
Dad, I don't know what the hell catch is anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous.
D to the I to the LL to the Y to the ARD. What up, bitch? It's Tilliard here.
Yeah? He's gonna stick his knuckle in your asshole.
You like that?
That's gay.
Representing.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Duh.
My God, we are ready for the football.
Take that, mother.
And now, here's John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Everything I am is an illusion. Everything I am.
Jordan Reed goes in motion left. Hand off to Rob Kelly. Through a hole to the five. Into the end zone! And Rob Kelly scores a Redskins touchdown! Houston Bates, the fullback. The hand off to Rob Kelly. Leading in, and he's got a Redskins touchdown. Hand off to Rob right up the middle. He's in for a Redskins touchdown. Third touchdown of the game for Rob Kelly, and the Redskins have put this one away. Game over. Big win for the Redskins here on Sunday Night Football. They beat the Packers 42-24. What a win for the Redskins.
All right, so that was great for your skins, absolutely. But I do want to say one thing, and I meant to pull the piece of audio from the last show, okay, because you guys will remember this. You can go back and hear it. I specifically called John a homer because he picked up the Redskins defense and he benched the Vikings defense. And right. I told you, I said, you are a homer and you're going to be sorry you did that. And you lost by just, what, a few points this week?
This week, again, in the parlance of everybody else's fantasy league, I lost by less than a point.
And there was your Vikings defense.
I lost
defense.
By like 7 points by our scoring standards.
So and there was like that monster... That monster week from the Vikings defense sitting on your bench.
Well, see here now. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. The week that I put the Redskins in that you called me a homer, they rolled for me, and the Vikings didn't do anything. This past week, my lineup was a mess because I had a vacation I was going on, and my head wasn't right, and I actually didn't do my lineup
blah,
right. I had Julio
blah,
Jones in the lineup
blah,
until somewhere in the middle of Sunday afternoon.
Blah 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 blah.
Hey, what can I tell you? I'm old. I can't remember things. Leave me alone.
Homer.
No, I didn't leave the Redskins in on purpose this week because I knew they were playing the sorry-ass Cardinals.
All right.
The Vikings.
I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 285 coming up. Not even Thanksgiving can bring one NFL family together.
Good.
Run for the border. The Browns keep trying as hard as they can. And an NFL sex tape is out there, John.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And a lot more, but first we have to start in New York City.
Hey, can I just say I hope it's Vince Wilfork?
Oh, my God. John took his lovely wife to New York City for the weekend, and I kept getting updates on what was going on, and I'm not sure anybody's ready to hear about what went down in New York City because... By God, it was Bang's weekend, and man.
I spent 4 days up there with my wife. It was her birthday, right? So basically, I'm not going to do a whole lot of sightseeing or anything for me. I'm just going to follow her around wherever she wants to go.
Right.
So before I get started, I'm going to make a disclaimer.
Okay.
I don't hate gay people. I swear to God. It's going to sound like I'm the biggest homophobe hater in the world, and I don't. You gotta think of it this way. For all of you young people and all of you Generation Xers that, well, all you millennials and Generation Xers, because Generation Xers are younger than me too, that are about to get pseudo-offended by what you hear, just understand this. It's just, it's an unusual situation for me to be so inundated, as if you were going into the gym locker room and there's a 60-year-old guy walking around with his pants on, right, with no pants on. That happens all the time, but you're not ready for it, so it's kind of weird to you.
Mm-hmm. You got there on Friday, right, the 18th?
Right.
Okay. Right. So the very first thing I get at 8:36 p.m. on Friday is, so here I am waiting in line to see a show in Chelsea on the campus of NYU.
Everyone, which I was wrong about. It was not NYU.
Oh, what was it?
It's the Fashion Institute.
Okay. And he says, everyone here is A, 30 years younger than me, B, right, frigging vegan, and C, right, gay.
Right. That's right. I mean, well, for one, I didn't realize I was on the campus of the Fashion Institute, so that might have explained the gay parts. But yeah, really, the things that I get out of this trip to New York were, it's a very young city, all right? Everybody there was, like I said, I'm like everybody's dad. Everybody that's a guy is either gay or they want you to think they're gay. There's every language being spoken, it seems, except for English. As a white, American-born, English-speaking man over the age of fucking 50, I was such a minority, Tom. It's ridiculous. I felt like I needed a guidebook to show. Excuse me, could you please point me to the bathroom? Este le baño.
It would appear we are a dying breed.
No, we're not. Did you see who they just elected? Shit. Anyway, it's fully multicultural, which was really cool, man. I thought that was really cool. The hotel I was in, honest to God, every day that I was in that damn thing, and every time I'm down there eating breakfast and everything, I'm hearing every language except for the one I speak. It was amazing. let's see. I have found out by just talking to people and listening to people on the street all the way through New York City that the gay voice that I do is very, very spot on.
Oh, really?
It's almost perfect, Tom. I was so surprised.
Well, afterward, you said, it was fun. The theater that houses the Upright Citizens Brigade. Ever heard of them? Yes. Yes. So I get that. And let's see.
Let me tell you something about that. Anybody that goes to New York, for one, it's not as expensive as you might think. And number two, that little theater right there in the Fashion Institute with all the gay people and the vegans around. But I'm standing in line when I texted you this, and there's this guy behind me talking about he's going to go to his mother's for Thanksgiving, and I do not feel like having this argument again about eating that goddamn bird. I'm not going to eat the bird. And I'm like, oh my God. Dude. You know, the skinny jeans and all the guys in all their leggings, that's all they wear. You go into a store and you're a person like me or like you, we go in there and they say, oh, clothes for you are in that back room behind the trash can.
Is that some kind of gay code?
Well, not that there's anything wrong with all that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that!
Right.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, because I discovered that my voice affectation is so perfect, it made me wonder, how do these guys make fun of a straight guy?
Do they lower their voice down and make their S's come out properly?
How do they do it? Because if I'd have turned around to one of these guys and said, oh, excuse me, can you point me in the direction of 39th Street? They would have gone, oh, yes, you just go up here and make a right and you make a left. And that would have been, if I would have turned around and said, hey, you guys, hey, hey, they would have probably left me alone. Oh, my God, can you believe it? He's a breeder.
Wow. Anyway. Well, I did ask you, I said, are you going to get to watch the Redskins? You said they're on Sunday Night Football. You probably get to see some of the games. You've already scoped out nearby bars for watching. Now, this was on Saturday. We were just talking about it. And, right. You know, we were like, you know, you asked me who Ohio State was playing and so forth and so on. And then,
I was kind of out of loop.
Then I get a text from you. I am at the 911 Memorial. Jesus, I am crying openly. Didn't expect that. Very, very powerful.
Yes, Ground Zero is extremely powerful. I couldn't fucking believe how powerful it was. I did not expect. It just hits you, man. When you walk in there, it just hits you. And I'm not like bawling uncontrollably. I had tears rolling down my face, and I could not stop it. I just couldn't stop it. And then after like a minute of trying to stop it, I just decided everybody else is doing the same thing. I'm not even going to bother to try to stop it. Once you start seeing these names carved into that thing, you can't help it. It just all comes back to you. I mean, really.
That's what I figured, is that when you're standing there, it's probably, it feels like you were just watching it all live on TV yesterday.
Dude, there's one point. I swear to God, this is going to sound so funky. But the new tower is there, and it's awesome, and it's big, and it's huge. And they didn't really seem to change the flight patterns of the jets very much, because there was a goddamn – I'm looking up at it, and this Southwest airliner, I'm sure everybody's used to it by now, but I can't tell the distance. And I was like, oh, shit. Just for a second, it makes you go, fuck, there it is again.
Hmm.
But, yeah, it's powerful down there, man. If you go see it. Just be prepared for that, and don't try to be a dumbass and – Right. Certainly, don't stand there smiling, taking selfies with yourself. I will tell you this, though. If you're going to New York, that comedy theater, the Upright City, it's called the UCB Theater. Dude, we got in there for $20, me and my wife. $20 got us into this place. It's not like a comedy club where there's no two-drink minimum or anything. It's like a theater that's got about 85 seats. That's it.
Yeah.
And it was this comedy troupe that we saw is called the Stepfathers. This club produced not the Upright Citizens Brigade, a bunch of Amy Poehler came out of there, Ed Helms came out of there, Anzi Cesari, they all come out of there. And dude, it's like an hour of improv. They just ask for a word. One guy gives them a word and they go. And it's fucking hilarious. Wow. I had a ball for $20. And I was everybody's dad, I felt like. I felt like if I stood up and said, hey, does anybody need me to get him anything from the bar? I would have gotten a lot of people. Yeah, man, can you get me some beer? Can you get me and my girlfriend some beer? So if you go up here, man, and you want something cheap to do that's a good time, go see that. It's an interesting time.
Well, then a few hours later, the Ohio State-Michigan State game is running down, and I get a text saying, damn, how many escapes can OSU have in a season?
No shit. And still be ranked up at number two.
Dude, that weather like that is the great equalizer. It is. It just is. I mean, it changes everything. You know, and it was, you went from rain to sleet to snow and back to sleet and back to rain. And it was always sideways because it was so damn windy and it just never let up. It was just nuts the entire game. And, you know, it made it really hard to pass for both teams. And, you know, hey.
You should play that sad violin behind you.
I'm not sad. What do I got to be sad about?
I don't know why you should be sad. You got another squeaker win against a shit team and still managed to end up number two. They're going to put you in that damn game no matter what.
They know who's got all the talent.
Hey, you know what? Talent doesn't make any difference. If you got all the talent, you should be beating the shit out of teams like that. See, I was watching Penn State score because I couldn't see the game. I had a hotel television, which is not even HD. My God, how did we survive in the fucking dark ages watching football on non-HD TV, Tom? I don't fucking understand. People are throwing the ball, and I'm like, damn, did somebody catch it? What the hell happened? I was watching that West Virginia game in the dust and snow. I couldn't even see it because of all the snow.
So. Yeah, it was crazy weather. And the SEC never has to play in that stuff, ever. Never has to play in that kind of weather.
Right, right. Well, like I said, I was watching the score of Penn State, and they were only up 9-0 at halftime. But then, of course, they piled on 30 more points in right. the second half, like a true team that should be in the freaking running does.
You have two losses. Sorry.
Whatever. I'm sorry, whatever. Two losses.
Yeah. All right, so then I get a text from you that says, took part in a street performance today.
Yes,
with
that's
dancers
right.
and acrobats. I got pulled out of the crowd to play. My job was to catch this guy who dove over five people, but right. I don't think he expected that I would spin and dip him.
That's gay.
No, he didn't. What? All right, well, okay, so I'm Mr. Tourist, right? So I'm down at Battery Park, and there's these guys that are doing their thing. They're acrobats and dancers and shit. They're all built like fucking, they're all built like dancers. Dudes are doing handstands, getting their noses down almost to the ground and, you know, walking around all kinds of, doing all kinds of goofy shit.
Right.
So, you know, me and all the rest of the crowd of tourists, we're all gathering around. They got a good spiel. They got a good little act. They're doing all their, I guess you call and response stuff. It's fun. They're having a good time. So then it comes time to pull people out of the crowd, and they pulled me out of the damn crowd. I was, quote-unquote, sexy white guy, which wasn't gay at all, Tom. These shirtless black guys calling me sexy white guy, I didn't feel at all threatened in any way. Because
you were gay.
Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. No, yeah, not that there's anything
wrong
with that.
That was why I wasn't worried. So anyway, they pull me out. They pull some Mexican guy out. They pull some Asian guy out. Of course, we're all, you know, delineated by our ethnicity, and they pull some woman out, and then they start going around the crowd and, you know, dipping the bag out. They got a good spiel. People are throwing money in the bag. My wife gives them $10. Then they come around to us, and they pull us out of the line one at a time, and we're in front of everybody getting the big fucking heavy spiel, and these guys are loading out $20 bills, Because yeah, you know, they're putting them in the hard sell. So they call me out, and I said, hey, man, you already tapped up my wife. I'm not giving you nothing else. You already got my wife. Right? So they gave me this look, man, and I was like, okay. So I reached in my pocket. Honestly, I never carry cash. I have a card. I have cards. I don't carry cash. I had like a dollar in my pocket. I pulled it out, and I threw it in the bag. And the guy goes, a dollar? And they start, because obviously they get, you know, they got a script for what they do with some asshole that gives them a dollar. And they start with me on that. And I'm pointing at my wife. I had to. They made me call my wife out of the crowd. She had to come up and give me a kiss to make sure that it was my wife. And I'll tell you what, I guess she was marking her territory. She was watching these gay guys looking at me. So
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. Okay, there is something wrong with this. And I want to, if you haven't been listening to us, you know, for very long, you may not know this. I don't even know. You may not even know who this is if you never paid attention to the Winter Olympics. But there is a United States men's ice skater. His name is Johnny Weir. And,
Johnny Weir.
And yes, and he's very flaming gay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Not that there's anything wrong
with that.
No,
of course not.
But this was at the Winter Olympics back in 2010, and he was talking. I can't remember. If it was like somebody he was skating against or somebody.
He had that Russian queen that he hated. Remember the guy gave himself a platinum medal?
Yes. Remember? Yes. Right. It was one of his, it was competition.
He gave himself a platinum medal. I do not like your Olympics with your drug testing. I'll give myself a platinum medal.
But this is what Johnny Weir said back then.
If I had a chance to sit down with him over a poutine, I think we'd all be like lovely people together.
He just wanted to sit down with him over a poutine, which right. We found out was some sort of French fry, right?
It's a cheese curd dipped over some French fry. I now have firsthand knowledge of this.
I know, because I got a text from you that said, oh, one other thing. Yesterday, I ate poutine.
I had some poutine on the street. As a matter of fact, some street poutine, Tom.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not, of course not. Not at all. So yeah, I got some poutine out of a lunch truck, just specifically so that I could come on the show and tell everybody I had some poutine.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so now we're on to Sunday morning. It says, so I just walked past Trump Tower, and what do you know? I'm the new energy secretary.
I had to turn it down. He was like, you're walking very quickly. I like your style. I said to him, I said, look, you know what you really ought to do? You ought to claim two or three of your hotels as White Houses, and then you can bill out more security to the taxpayers. He said, hey, that's not a bad idea. I said, then you ought to call your house servants the Secretaries of the Interior. I like you, he said. I like you a lot.
Then I get a text that says, more ridiculousness. I'm in Times Square, the ultimate tourist bullshit store, the Kellogg store, a frigging cereal store.
Dude, I thought, now when I texted you that, I'm standing in the throng on Times Square. Honest to God, it's 20,000 people crammed into that place. I'm okay with it. I don't like crowds, but I'm going down there, so I figure, what the fuck? I'm not going to worry about it. I see the sign for this place because, you know, they have all of the, everything there is just the ultimate. It's like fucking advertisement puke. It's everywhere. And everything is specialized. There's a Reese's store. There's a Hershey's store. And it's got all. I went in the M&M store. Everything is M&M's. There's a million kinds of M&M's and M&M t-shirts and da-da-da. So I see this sign down the street for the Kellogg store. And I'm thinking, okay, this is ridiculous. It's just, you know, for cereal products. So I go in there. Dude, I thought it was for like Tony the Tiger t-shirts and shit. No, it's a goddamn cafe where you can order Kellogg's fucking cereal.
Unreal.
On Times Square, you can go in and order a bowl of Frosted Flakes. They don't have anything else there. There's no other menu. It's just goddamn Kellogg's fucking cereal.
Wow.
I know. And it's like $7.95 for a bowl of cornflakes.
Oh my what? God. Are you serious?
I have no idea. I didn't see the prices, but it's in Times Square. As soon as I walked in and saw what it was, I rolled my eyes. I started laughing and walked out. I couldn't believe it.
First off, you couldn't give me a bowl of cornflakes for free.
I couldn't, but dude, that'd be like having the Deer Park store where all it is bottles of water.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. All right, then I get a text that evening. It says, well, guess who left the Vikings defense on the bench?
That was me. Yes, that was me. Yes. Of course, that was me. Yes, that was me.
Then I get, let's see. Seriously, just once, I would like to see them say, and here's Michelle Tafoya for a bunch of nothing to say.
I can't even remember what she was telling us. Pre-game, she was telling us something. You know, something usual. The Redskins are going to come out when they have the ball, and they're going to run offensive plays. Back to you, Bob. You know, the typical shit.
Then I got, man, I just love having two commercials for every one play, don't you?
Oh, my God. I swear to God, I think I did an inaccurate count. You got to remember, I was in a hotel room and I was making hash marks on a notepad. But in the first half, there were 647 commercials. You can count them if you want.
I believe you.
I mean, seriously. One thing I did learn when I was in those stores following my wife around all these frou-frou stores, where I could go into like Saks Fifth Avenue and get the same Champion sweatshirt that I'm wearing that I got for $24.95 at Modell's down outside of Washington, D.C., I can get here for $169.95. The same shirt. But while I'm following her around, you really get introduced to the gay community that way, is going into these stores.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
Not at all. No. Not at all. But, you know, you ask them, excuse me, where can I find some slacks? And then they look at you up and down. Well, for you, they could be over there.
Then I got a text from you. It said, admit it, you like that. Freaking blew the Packers out. We're recording Wednesday, right?
You like that? You like that?
He had some more shit to say this week. There's all kinds of talk about how he treated our general manager after the game.
Well, yeah, he went up and, you know what, though? They were laughing it up, and then all of a sudden he rubbed his hair.
He does that to everybody. When he's coming off last week he was coming off the field, he did that ooh-wee thing, and he grabs one of the coaches and rubs him by the head. That's what he does. Fuck it. He's on top of the world. Best quarterback in the NFL. Mark it.
Oh, for God's sakes.
What? Kirk Cousins, baby.
Let me know when he wins 9 in a row.
I don't need to let you know when he's going to win 9 in a row. What I need to know is that they're going to fucking pay him, and they're not going to let him get even close to the train station as soon as the season is over.
Well, Skip Bayless says that's a mistake. They should not pay him.
Skip Bayless is a mistake. You know they're putting Rob Parker on that show now.
On what show?
On that show with Shannon Sharp and
when?
Skip Bayless. I just read it today. They're going to put Rob Parker on there, Mr. Cornball.
That is not necessary. It is fine the way it is.
Fine. See, this is what I hear when they tell me, this is the fastest growing sports show on television. Fastest growing means we are not getting very many viewers.
That's too bad, because it's really good.
Well, I guess if you like that sort of thing. But see, Skip Bayless is on there, which means that half of the show, at least, is complete contrived bullshit. Said with a gay voice.
He's been right all year. Shannon Sharp owes him so many cases of Diet Mountain Dew, I can't even tell you. It's ridiculous.
He drinks Diet Mountain Dew?
Skip does, yeah.
Oh, well, not that there's anything wrong with that.
That's gay.
Right.
Right. Diet Mountain Dew. I just want the energy and the flavor.
Well, anyway, so the other night, Kirk Cousins yelled, how do you like me now?
Right. Right in the general manager's ear.
Oh, God. Why?
You'll hear after the fourth one. You'll hear it.
I gotta listen that long, huh?
How you like me now?
Oh God!
There you go.
How you like me now? How you like me now? How you like me now?
That's all.
Hey, I got one for you.
Okay,
you remember this guy?
Fuck Zeke Elliott.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't stand them motherfuckers, but they just good.
I wonder if he got the job.
Man, I can't go to a fucking interview like this, man.
Well, it looks like your credentials are in order there, Mr. Smith, but have you been crying? Something wrong?
Got a fucking job interview today and shit, man. I can't go to a fucking interview like this, man. I'm all shook up, man.
Right. So.
What's the matter? You look all shook up.
Yeah, I had to go and do this.
Fucking shook up, man. Fucking tired of Dak Prescott. That's all I'm hearing is Dak. Fuck Dak. Fuck Zeke Elliott. Fuck the Cowboys.
I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy trip. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love.
I'm all shook up.
Yeah. I'm in love.
I'm all shook up.
Mm-hmm.
As interesting as that may be, Jackson, we don't think you're good for the job. I'm in love. Thank you for coming.
I'm all shook up.
Oh, that's too good. That is too good. All right. Oh, good. We each had a good one this week. That was good. I liked yours, too. That was pretty funny.
Oh, I didn't make that song. I just found it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I just found it.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know who made it. We need to give them...
But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you later.
Yeah, we need to give them some credit, man. You can find out who made that.
Oh, I don't know. It's just one of them YouTube things. All they did was put one word on it. We one line in there.
Yeah, that's all I did.
Shit.
I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
The little, that's the best part. That caps it off. Okay, so I did want to mention this. Did you saw this where the Seattle Seahawks, they cut Christian Michael.
Yeah.
The running back.
The dude's gone all over the league, hadn't he?
Well, no. Okay, so, well, he was in Seattle originally, and then he was in Dallas last year for a little while, and then he went back to Seattle, and he busted his ass. He did everything for the Seahawks for the first half of this season. In fantasy, I mean, he was double-digit. He was averaging double-digit fantasy points. Now, you know, they had C.J. Procease and Thomas Rawls, but they were both hurt, and so all they had was Christian Michael, and he played, you know, pretty damn good. He was the bell cow, but then Rawls and Procease got healthy, and they also activated this kid, Troymaine Pope, off the practice squad, and I did like this kid.
Anybody named Troymaine is going to be all right in my book.
Troymaine Pope, dude. He was one of them. If you watched the film, you know, if you watched him on TV, he just jumped off the screen at you. That look test, you talk about passing the look test, this kid had it.
Right.
So they activate him off the practice squad. Rawls and Procease are now healthy, and they just kick Christian Michael to the curb.
Procease was not healthy the other day. I mean, he was, but then he kind of came up lame in the game.
Well, no, he did. He got hurt in the game. Now look, yeah. I understand it's a business, but damn.
Yeah.
You do all that for half a year, and all of a sudden, a couple guys get healthy, and, oh, look at this kid on the practice squad, and now you're out of a job. But guess what? The Green Bay Packers claimed him off waivers, and, I mean, you're talking about...
I saw him on the sideline.
That's a team starving for a running back, you know?
See, man, that's the thing about the Packers. They're so goddamn beat up. Their offensive line is destroyed. They've got a wide receiver playing running back, although Starks is back now. They're picking guys like Michael off the street. They've got safeties playing cornerback. But there's supposed to be rules that stop this sort of thing, Tom. We're supposed to be seeing a safer football game, aren't we? Isn't that why we have these officials throwing so many fucking flags all the goddamn time? Because they want to look out for players' fucking safety?
I'm just really glad that you just told me that all the Redskins did was beat up on a beat up shitty team.
I'm not going to disagree with that. You'd have to be stupid to say so. The Packers are beat up, and you know what? If you get a beat up shitty team in front of you, so what? That's the roll of the dice in the NFL.
That's right.
My point is that they keep making these rules to make it better, and these teams are all beat the fuck up. All of them. Well, most of them anyway.
Yeah, and so. Christian Michael's now a Packer. I hear he's definitely playing next week. I don't know if he's going to start or not, but he's definitely going to play. I imagine he'll back Starks up as he learns more of the playbook. But I think eventually he'll take over that job. But now, so what happens? Seattle played Philadelphia.
Philly.
Yeah. And what happens? C.J. Procease hurt his shoulder really bad. And Troymaine Pope's got a really bad high ankle sprain. They don't think either one of them will play for the rest of the regular season. And here's where the drama comes into play, John.
The drama.
December 11th.
Okay.
The Seahawks play at Green Bay.
Okay.
I think for 1 week, the Packers are going to be really
Michael,
good,
right?
Because Christian Michael is going to run like a god.
Nah, see, what's going to happen is between now and then, the Packers are going to sign some schmuck guy that was, hey, that fella picking up the trash over there, he looks like a strong guy. Come on in here. Come on in here. Yeah, you, Michael, get the fuck out of here. This guy's going to play for us this week.
Well, I, you know, they must like Christian Michael because they said he's definitely going to play next week, and they opted not to bring Eddie Lacy back from IR.
Right. He's on IR.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because he's been averaging since he's been... since he's been hurt, he's been averaging 17 bags of potato chips a day.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to do you very good.
Yeah, that's up from 12, right?
Well, when I'm talking about these injuries, right, and about the officials and everything that goes on with how bad the goddamn officiating is and how the teams don't know what it means from one goddamn crew to the next or what's going to get flagged or what's not going to get flagged, Chris Collinsworth, of all fucking idiots, said something the other night. You saw two times Aaron Rodgers dove to the ground and then jumped up and tried to run. Both times he would have scored. But the referee said, no, you gave yourself up. And the Redskins didn't touch him either time. And Chris Collinsworth goes, they're afraid to catch a penalty.
I heard, yeah.
They're afraid to touch him down.
I heard that.
Because of, right. Because, and you know what? I bet you that's got something to do with it. Because you never know what the fuck's going to happen. You never know what they're going to throw a goddamn flag for.
Well, I think that the defenders just, you know, if the quarterback slides or dives before they get to him, they just know there's nothing. There's no reason to do anything.
Right.
But I'm glad that the refs do say, okay, you dove. You don't get to get back up and run. You gave yourself up.
That's right. Because you know what? If he did get back up and run and they didn't blow the whistle and the safety ran over and clubbed him a little bit and, oh, just a little touch of his fucking sweatband would have hit the ear hole of the quarterback. Oh, that's 15 yards. Tack it on.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. But the injuries are being prevented, and that's all that matters.
This, hey, you know, about the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's been estranged from his whole family for a while now. His brother Jordan was on
Jordan Rodgers.
Yeah, he was on The Bachelorette, that TV show.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? The Bachelorette.
I know the show, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Here's, we'll put it on the list of shows that John would never bother to watch and has not.
No, I didn't watch it either.
All right.
But he apparently stated this on the show, saying, my family doesn't have any contact with Aaron. He dates Olivia Munn, Aaron Rodgers does.
Right.
And, right. You know, that's what it was. I remember the story. I just didn't know if you and I had ever talked about it.
I know Packer fans were blaming her for distracting him.
Oh, for God's sakes. Well, that's what the report was, is that she was the reason for the riff in the family, because the family doesn't like Olivia Munn.
Not that Olivia Munn there. No, no.
Aaron Rodgers seems to like Olivia Munn better than his family. And, well, hey, you know.
you know, I tell you what, love is blind.
John, maybe he can see just fine.
Oh, I get that. What does she do to his family?
Well, I don't know. We never heard other than they didn't like her. I don't know if it was for, I think it was, I might have heard it was like for religious reasons.
Religious reasons.
Maybe she's not religious and they are, or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. But he started dating her in May of 2014. Anyway, now according to Bleacher Report, he has not spoken to his family since December of 2014. So what, just 7 months after they started dating?
Oh my God, she's Episcopalian! Aaron, you dump her immediately!
Well, the Christmas presents that his parents sent him and Olivia that year,
right?
Apparently they sent presents to both of them. They were returned right after the first of the year, and he also will not give his immediate family members his cell number. He was supposed to, I don't understand this. He was supposed to be a groomsman in the wedding of his longtime friend, but he texted him and said he couldn't make it the day before the wedding.
Oh, what a dick. She's like, you told me we could go shopping.
That is just wrong. The day before
Olivia
the
Munn
wedding.
Olivia Munn has grabbed him by the nuts. You're not going to that wedding. You told me we were going to go shopping. I know she doesn't talk like that, but why not?
So, he used to call his grandfather before every game he played.
Right.
And then his grandfather passed away. He didn't go to the funeral. He didn't even go to the funeral.
Oh. I'm sorry. You told me we were going to go to the bed and breakfast this weekend, Aaron, and I'm serious. If you don't come with me, I will never see this perfect ass again.
Well, here's the worst part, John. He cut off his family's free tickets.
Oh, shit. Well, aren't they from California, though?
I don't know, but now, well, I guess his father
if
went.
They were from.
His father went to his games all the time, but now he's got to buy his own tickets.
His father. He got his father out. Oh, my God.
No more tickets.
He should really have some fun with it and leave some tickets for, like, Olivia Munn's second cousin.
He probably does. probably leaves tickets for anybody Olivia Munn tells him to leave tickets for.
Right. Or have it just say, the man coming's name is Frank Rodgers, and these tickets are for whoever is next behind him in line. And so I am curious now, what has Olivia Munn done to his family? There's got to be something.
I don't know, but that's the story.
All right, we need people to get in on this. We need people to give us suggestions as to what it is.
Hey, did you watch any of the Monday night game down there in Azteca Stadium in Mexico City?
Yeah, I did, actually. I noticed
I like the laser guy, the guy with the laser beam that was flashing it in fucking Osweiler's eyes. Did you see that?
Yes.
That was fucked up. There's barbed wire all around the different tiers of the stadium. There's a matter of fact, the lighting standards on the top of the stadium from outside look like gigantic hunks of barbed wire. It almost looks like a prison camp in there. People have they should have used that laser and tried to get it off of Trent Dilfer's head at halftime. That would have been fucking classic.
You know what Raiders fans call Mexico City, right?
What?
Slightly less dangerous Oakland.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I can get that. I can get that. I do know that the Texans were under absolute rule. You go to your hotel. You do not come out. You get on the team bus. You go to the stadium. You get back on the team bus. You go to the hotel. We leave. Nobody was allowed to leave. Nobody. You can't even walk outside.
They thought they were going to have to play the game with a decapitated head of a drug lord. You know that, right?
And you know, when it came time for a field goal, they had to call for the kicking head of another drug lord.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
Right, why not? I was listening in the broadcast, and John Gruden's talking about going outside and getting an enchilada or whatever it was out on the street, and I'm thinking, dude, you'll never be seen again. And I will put it to you this way. Remember the last time they did a game down there, the 49ers and the Cardinals? I made a cartoon about Al McGuire and Joe Theismann getting kidnapped.
Right. Yeah, it was great.
Way, way ahead of the curve there. Knew about that.
All right, we have got to get to break, so we'll be back and talk about the Browns.
Oh, they're trying.
Bang Radio.
An unexpected event on Thanksgiving actually helped create the league's most famous cliche. The year was 1962. Vince Lombardi's Packers, who went on to become world champions, lost their only game of the season. The Detroit Lions sacked quarterback Bart Starr 11 times. It was dubbed the Thanksgiving Day Massacre. And afterward, Commissioner Pete Rozelle explained the result by simply saying, any team can win on any given Sunday.
VOTech. For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech. VOTech.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder.
Well, thank God we built you. What a blessing for the community.
You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert. Do you understand that it is actually statistically harder for a team to be this consistently bad than it is for them to occasionally accidentally be good?
The probability is staggering. Did you happen to see that game today? It's like they're playing a different sport than you are.
And here's what you have to understand. We don't even expect you to be good. We just want you to be watchable.
Do you have any idea how low our expectations are? We don't expect you to win the Super Bowl. We just want you to look better than a Division III high school team.
And listen, I know that there are way more important things in life than football, but you are supposed to be our pleasant distraction from those things.
But all we do is pay you money to put us in a bad mood every week.
You are a factory of sadness!
I'll see you Sunday.
Yo, what's up? This is Jerry Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Gun, protector to his right is Le'Veon Bell. Here's the shotgun right. Snap. He gets the run. He's into the end zone for a Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. Steelers show blitz and they bring the extra guy. Look out, he's in the end zone, being chased, and he's hit, and the ball's out, and the Steelers, I think, have fallen on it. Pittsburgh says, officials say, touchdown. Pittsburgh. Zeros on the scoreboard, and that's the end of the game. final score. Pittsburgh prevails 24-9 over the Cleveland Browns, who dropped to 0-11.
The guys are trying as hard as they can.
Bless their hearts. They deserve a cookie. Take them to Shakey's or something. Get the kids some pizza.
Only five to go. Only five to go, John.
They do. I think they can make it, except for this weekend. They have to play the Giants. Let's go, Browns. Let's go, Browns. Yeah, let's go, Browns.
This is not the week
assume,
the Giants
was
fall.
That the who's bright? That was the Browns broadcast we heard, right? Or was that the Steelers?
No,
broadcast?
That was the Steelers.
Okay, the thing on either side, it doesn't matter. But when the Browns fumble and the Steelers jump on it, mm-hmm. the announcer actually tries his best to sound surprised. Oh, look, the Browns have coughed it up.
Oh, look, another Browns quarterback down hurt on the field.
I think if I was one of the goddamn color people, I'd have to keep saying it. Every time they did something, oh, look, an interception. But they're just trying so hard. Did you see the receiver? He tried really hard on that play.
You know, funny thing about the Steelers, you know, Sammy Coates, the wide receiver Sammy Coates, he had that breakout game. I picked him up. I actually started him fantasy football. He was like 180 yards, two touchdowns, whatever it was. And then he broke two of his fingers. The next week, he broke two of his fingers. And so ever since then, he can't catch a pass. I mean, he'd only get target one time, and he got targeted five times one game, didn't catch a single one of them. You know, then he'll catch one catch for 12 yards, and it's just, it's pitiful. But then Mike Tomlin said Monday, he said, Sammy Coates is limited as a pass catcher by his two broken fingers. So, John, my question to Mike Tomlin is, then why the fuck is he on the field?
My question would be, what did Marcus Wheaton do? He can't get on the field in front of a receiver with two broken fingers.
Oh, he's been hurt too.
Well, they basically gave up on him. They benched his ass. He's had owies, but I just think he's a pussy. They're not going to let him back on the field.
It's Eli Rogers' job now, number two. I mean, Coates is number three, but he can't catch a pass.
You know, his fingers are broken. You look at Jerry Rice's fingers, they're all mangled up. Lots of these receivers, when you see them after football, their fingers are all mangled up.
Man.
And what was the receiver's name? Oh, Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah.
Dwayne Bowe, they said that when Andy Reid got a hold of Dwayne Bowe, after the first preseason, he said, Bowe can't catch because his fingers, the tendons between his fingers and the webbing between his fingers have been torn to shreds, and he can't grip anything. The dude can't even hold a pencil.
Wow.
So, yeah, man, that shit takes a toll on you. But it doesn't make any difference. They should pull the old Bruce Arians move when they lose. Head for the hospital.
Oh, my arm! It's broken!
Right. There he is. It's Bruce Arians every time they lose. Oh, I got a heart infarction!
Well, here's our buddy, Coach Hugh Jackson.
Obviously, these are not good times and haven't been for us. And I think we got to get better. I take responsibility for that. We got to make more plays, and we got to do a better job of finding a way to score. This part of the season, there's some things that I thought maybe we start getting better at, and it looks like we're still not there yet. So we still got a ways to go, and I know that, and I can see it. But again, I'm not going to let these guys get down.
Nope, 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 nope.
He can see it, Tom. He can see it. They're going to, one of these days, they're going to bring it out and show everybody.
Wow.
You know, we're just trying to find ways to score. People tell me that if we take the football and put it over that line, they're going to give us 6 points, and we're bound to find out. We're just trying to figure out the best way to get it in there. We had a good suggestion this week to put it in a car and drive it onto the field, but I don't think they're going to allow us for that because they don't open the garage doors.
Oh my gosh.
Got to tell you, Tom, we're trying really hard. We got to get better. I'm looking at the tape. I'm watching the score. I'm looking at my team fumble games away. And I realize we got to get better. I see that we've got this giant goose egg on the win column. And so we've got to get better. And I think we can get better as long as we get better. We just got to keep saying, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can.
I believe you win. Through belief.
And right. That's probably what he does. He sits down in front of the team. All right, everybody, gather around. We're going to read the little engine that could. Come on.
It's being planned exactly like I want it.
Right. Everybody sit cross-legged on the floor. There once was a little engine with a small motor.
I won't go in your tank. You got a tank, you're in the tank, I will not join you.
Nope, nope, nope. I'll tell you what, though. We can see it. We can see it.
I got beat. Our staff got beat. Our players got beat. Offense, defense, special teams got beat.
The parking lot attendant got beat. Poor guy. He was just minding his own business.
Well, we told him he's got to get better. You're attending the parking lot. Can't get beat out there. But we're not going to let him get down, Tom. We're not going to let him get down. We're going to go in there, by golly, and we're going to turn those frowns upside down.
All right. Well, listen, in anticipation of a perfect season, this guy, ex-Neil.
Ex-Kneel?
It would be McNeil.
Right.
But everybody in Ohio this week, it's so dumb, John, has replaced the letter M with the letter X.
Why?
Michigan.
Oh, I see.
The
Michigan,
M.
That's pretty good. I thought that maybe they finally got past L. They can mark off M. Hot dang, we got there. What's next? What the hell is that?
Oh, that's a good one. I tell you what, I never get tired of the OSU Michigan jokes. One of my favorites still to this day is, how do you get a Michigan graduate off your porch?
I don't know.
You pay him for the pizza. Still one of my favorites.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. There you go. We'll be here all week, folks. Make sure you tip your bartenders and waitresses.
This guy McNeil, he posted a copy of this letter on his Twitter page because, like I said, in anticipation of the 0-16 season, they want to celebrate. So
who does?
Cleveland Browns fans.
Oh, fans. Okay. I was going
to
say.
The Browns fans. Yeah. He said, all right, this is to the special. Let's see. It's an email to specialevents@city.cleveland.oh.us. Okay.
Okay. Everybody write that down.
To whom it may concern, I hope this note finds you well. Here is an application for a peaceful parade to be held on Saturday, January 7th, 2017. The parade will be a celebration of our Cleveland Browns' historic 0-16 season. As a season ticket holder, this is especially near and dear to my heart as I prepare to pay for my season tickets next year. The event will be held on public property as the parade route wraps around First Energy Stadium that taxpayers built in hopes that the team would achieve the kind of historic brilliance that they have this year. I have filled out all of the appropriate documentation necessary for the event according to the website and attached it to this email. This documentation includes application, proposed parade route, and payment information page. Please contact me if this application is insufficient for us to hold the Browns perfect season parade on the scheduled date of January 7, 2017. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. And as always, go Browns, Chris McNeil.
Hey, look, I'll tell you what. I know we have listeners in Cleveland. Believe it or not, they can actually understand most of this show. So, if you're there, you got to go to this parade. I don't care if you are a bandwagon goddamn Patriots fan living in Cleveland. You got to go to this parade. And not only do you have to go to this parade, but you have to cover it for the Bang Radio Hour.
You have to hold up a giant sign, too.
Yeah, who wants to do this for us? You can do it on your phone. You know, you can just do it on your phone. Just keep a running commentary about what the hell you're seeing and what the hell's going on there. I think that would be fun to have an 0-16 parade. That would be great, especially if they got all the floats to go backwards.
Interview the Browns fans. Talk to any of them. Get anything.
How much have you spent on this shit team? That's why they're winning. They're winning. Hey, man, you know what? While we're talking about fans of all kinds of shit, I got to say hey to this dude, Justin Gallagher, who keeps putting pictures of himself and his friends up in all kinds of stadiums all around the league every damn week, including Tottenham for the Redskins and Bengals game. He was at the L.A. Coliseum last week with a Dolphins hat on.
Uh-huh.
And he's taking pictures and sending them just to us at the Bang Radio Hour, so that's pretty cool. You can come see this dude's ugly mug and say, hey, he was there talking about us.
Awesome.
So, thank you, dude.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. That is. Yeah. That's exactly the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. So we were on the Browns.
That's it. I just think that's hilarious. But one other thing about the Browns, and it's got nothing to do with this season, and I always forget, what station is Paul Feinbaum on? I never can remember.
Isn't
because
he,
or I mean, he's
he
on TV.
Network?
TV, that's right. It's ESPN,
SEC,
right?
Huh? Isn't he on SEC?
Yeah, SEC, that's it. That's what it is. Yeah. All right. this guy, I always forget.
He's such a douche.
I keep trying to forget about him because you're right. Every time we talk about him, it's because he's a douche.
He is a douche, and he looks like a douche. His head is so bald.
He keeps saying stupid shit, so then I got to bring him back up again. But that's right. I'm just going to let you hear him talking to this guy and what he said.
And the feeling is that the Browns are drafting all those SEC guys. What, Richardson from Alabama, Manziel from A&M,
first of all, Tom, let's try to keep facts. The Browns did not draft Richardson, okay?
The Browns didn't draft Trent Richardson?
No.
I think they did, Paul. They also drafted
I don't think they did, Tom. I think he went to Indianapolis.
They also drafted Manziel Mingo.
Yeah, they did draft. They did draft Johnny Manziel late in the first round.
But Paul, what's the SEC going to look like after?
Let me correct myself. They drafted him, but they immediately traded him, so he did not start in Cleveland.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And he, you know, and you hear it. You can hear it. He's talking down to him.
Oh yeah, he's got this sneer on his face, and when he says they never drafted him, he twirls his freaking bald head around. It looks like a light bulb on a chain. Upside down.
I know. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, you know, he says, let me correct myself. No, let that idiot yelling in your ear who's telling you to correct yourself.
Paul, they did draft him. They did draft him, and they traded him to Indianapolis. Oh, well, they immediately traded him. Well, let me tell you how immediately that happened. Okay, first off, yes, the Browns drafted him. He was the number 3 overall pick, running back Trent Richardson out of Alabama. He started 15 games for the Browns his rookie year, 2012. He rushed for 950 yards and 11 touchdowns. He had 51 receptions for 367 yards and 1 touchdown. So that's a total of 1,317 yards and 12 touchdowns. But, John, he never started for the Browns.
It's impossible, Tom. He was never drafted by the Browns.
That's an SEC education right there.
Trent Richardson was never drafted by the Browns, and he was immediately traded after they didn't draft him to somebody else because he never started for them.
Even though he already had 950 rushing yards somehow before he played a game for the anybody.
Right. Meanwhile, in his ear, Jesus Christ, how can you be so fucking stupid?
You know, if the guy in his ear is not worried about getting fired or can't be fired for that, he probably did say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, really. How many more times do we have to go through this, you moron?
So I told you there is an NFL sex tape out there.
That's a very scary thing to think about. Like I said, I'm hoping it's maybe Vince Wilfork, Chris Baker.
Nope. Nope.
Who else could we
nope.
think? No?
Nope.
I mean, am I already close? Is it a big fat guy?
Von Miller.
Oh! Von really? Miller. Von Miller.
The super defense.
Right.
So he got another sack, but this one was on camera.
Yeah, he, you know, and he's all over the place in endorsements. See, it's a problem for him right now.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he's got Microsoft, Best Buy, Beats by Dre. Beats by Dre would probably endorse him for it, but Old Spice, name a few.
I happen to know for a fact that no one has ever used Microsoft products to access pornography in any way, so he's got a real problem there.
The woman he had sex with.
All right, well, at least we're good on that front.
Is threatening to release the video. Well, but you know, because he went to Cancun with a bunch of people, including this
hanger on
Elizabeth Ruiz. She's a wannabe model. That's how they referred to her in the story. They had sex.
Right.
She filmed it with her cell phone, and he apparently let her do it. But you know, she swore it would remain private, which you'd believe wouldn't you? You're an NFL superstar. Super Bowl MVP, just got a massive contract, but she swears it's going to stay private, John.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
I'm a wannabe model. Don't worry. I have a career.
Well, back in September, Von Miller was contacted by representatives for Ruiz.
Ooh. Oh, representatives for Ruiz. Excuse me, sir. We seem to have a video of you doing it doggy style.
Well, I'm trying to understand this. These are representatives for Ruiz.
Right.
They said
she got a lawyer.
They said, well, that's are you really? Because they said her representative said to Von Miller that she wants to market the video and become the next Kim Kardashian.
Oh, that's what she wants to do, become the next Kim Kardashian by marketing the video of Von Miller, because she will be the one that gets famous off of this.
Or she will destroy the video and settle for $2.5 million cash.
Hmm. How, you know, I think I'd have to tell her, fuck it, go ahead, release the video. I don't care. Honest to God, we've all got sex tapes. We don't want that stuff leaking out there. Most of you especially. Honest to God, I've seen most of our listeners. I don't want to see any of that shit.
It's blackmail.
We are post-racist, Tom. We're not calling it that anymore.
There's no way a lawyer is going to blackmail Von Miller.
Really? There's no way a lawyer will try something like that?
Really?
Shit.
I gotta believe he would be barred.
He'd be disbarred.
Disbarred, I mean.
Right, he'd be disbarred. And you're probably right, he would be disbarred, but I think that there's a lot of sleazy lawyers out there.
Man, I think it's a representative, meaning like her friend. That's what I think it is.
Right, or her.
Well, Von Miller filed for a restraining order to stop her from selling or releasing the video, and he got it. His lawyer said, he got it. Now,
yeah, this is the Hulk Hogan Gawker thing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, good.
But he said, his lawyer said, it depends on the appeal of his persona to many different people from virtually all walks of life, including families and children.
I want to see him blindsiding quarterbacks and possibly paralyzing them. I do not want to see his willy. Not at all.
And I haven't heard him say that he knew he was being videotaped either, so she'd have to prove that.
Yeah, I don't know what else there is to say about it. I don't care if she puts it out or not. I'm not going to stop buying the products that he endorses. In fact, I would go, hey, there's Von Miller. I've seen him having sex. I think I'll go buy a computer.
I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
He thought he was in love for a few minutes.
Go ahead, videotape me, baby. What do I care?
Well, it's about time for Thanksgiving, and this is our best of show.
It is about time for Thanksgiving. Yeah, we did a real show. We didn't do a best of show.
And we're coming in on time.
I know.
Hot dang. You'd think we got places to be.
How about that, right?
Well, I'm not going anywhere this holiday. I did enough traveling this weekend amongst the gays, so I'm going to stay home and watch the Redskins defeat the Dallas Cowboys in armed combat.
I will be at my in-laws, which basically I can walk around the corner to get to their house. So,
see, I need a passport to get to mine.
We'll eat right. We'll eat early and then sit back and watch the Cowboys kick the shit out of the Redskins. Can't wait.
Well, you know why I love my wife? You know what's in my fridge instead of a turkey? A goddamn standing rib roast is sitting in my fridge.
Nice.
Ready for that, boy.
Very nice.
Eating that while I'm watching the Redskins kick the shit out of the Cowboys. Rob Kelly. You seem to recall I told you about Rob Kelly in the preseason.
No, I told you.
What? No way. That's out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
John, he was on my roster week one.
Only because I didn't pick him up. I didn't pick up any of them.
Oh, my God. I got the text. I can prove it.
And then I didn't say you didn't have him. I'm just saying that I didn't pick him up because I wasn't going to touch their running game. It didn't look good to me at all.
No. I told you he would be the starter.
I knew that.
No.
I've
got the text. I'm going all the way back to these texts.
Oh, no. See, this is why Tom, I'm calling on the Tom Brady rule. I don't need to give my phone out to anybody. This is protected stuff.
Oh, man.
We don't have a podcasters union, do we? God damn it. Where's our shop steward? I don't know, but he had 3 touchdowns the other night. I sure like Fat Rob right now. I had him, because you cut him. And then I had him, like, I picked him up in like week 3. And then I cut him. And then I picked him back up again when Matt Jones fumbled 3 times in a game and gave away the game to the Lions. I said, fuck that. Fat Rob's coming in. That's going to be the end of it.
Folks, let me tell you something about John. Anytime he doesn't have at least 3 Redskins on his roster, he starts breaking out in a cold sweat. He's got to pick somebody up. So Rob Kelly's like, I got to get another one. Okay, wait a minute.
That's not true at all.
Now I got the Redskins defense. I can drop Rob Kelly. No, you know what? I need 4 Redskins. Give me Rob Kelly back. Let me...
Seriously, with running backs, finding a starter, which I needed desperately to do after like week 2, it was impossible. You got to find people. You're trying to pick amongst people that are going to get 6 carries a week. So, you know, when one of them comes available like Kelly that's going to get 15 carries a week, I'll take him. Jordan Reed was one of my keepers. I picked up Kirk Cousins because why not? The dude's like one of the best quarterbacks in the league in terms of statistics. I got him and Derek Carr. Every week I flip a coin. Which one am I going to put in there?
He's a great fantasy quarterback. There's no doubt about it. But don't start thinking that Rob Kelly is some amazing running back like, I don't know, Ezekiel Elliott.
No, I don't care about anything like that. No. But when in terms of fantasy football this year, for me to be able to have two backs that I can, dude, one of my other backs is Todd Gurley, who is the feature back and has done shit this year. But I've also had him in another game where he got two touchdowns.
Uh-huh.
Or he got 100 yards and a touchdown his first week.
Right. But you know what? You know what you got to have in order to do that? The ball.
What's that?
You got to have the ball. And you know what Dallas doesn't give you? The ball. Well, they keep it.
Because the Redskins have a good...
good what?
I hear you.
A good what?
They have a damn good offense for one thing, and they do manage to keep the ball. They do manage to keep the ball. So this will be an interesting game.
They score too fast.
Not necessarily. They scored too fast the other night because the Packers couldn't do anything to stop it.
Dude, Dallas runs 8, 9, 10, 12 play drives. They chew up 8, 9 minutes of the clock. And God forbid they do that and you get a 3 and out, because then they'll just do it again and then your defense is fucked.
Well, see, this is the thing. The Redskins don't get 3 and out. They're leading the league right now in the lack of 3 and outs. I don't know what you'd call that statistic, but you know there's a stat for everything. But 3 and out, 1, 2, 3 punt. The Redskins do it least amount of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they do. They go on good long marches, man. You look at that Bengals game, they just didn't finish with a touchdown on the first quarter, but they kept the ball for 9 minutes. They had the ball in the first half for something like 18 minutes of the first half. So they're quite capable of doing something like that. It's a matter of making Elliott. You gotta stop Elliott. Take his goddamn cereal away from him.
Well, you just don't have the D to stop Elliott, man.
Well, that's true. The one thing else that scares the shit out of me is Dante Whitner fucking stinks out loud. And I mean stinks out loud. He stinks so bad it comes off of him in sound waves. And Jason Witten is going to just sit down at 8 yards and 8 yards and 8 yards.
Not only has Dallas won 9 games in a row, but what has impressed me, and I didn't even realize it, is they've put up over 400 yards of offense 8 weeks in a row. 8 weeks in a row. And that included over 400 yards against the number one defense in the league last week.
Okay. When I asked you the other day what the Redskins' offense had to do to show you, you said beat the number one defense, and I was like, they did.
I know.
They did. The Redskins haven't lost a game in like their last 6 games. They had a tie in there, but they haven't lost one in a good long time.
Aren't they 6-3 and
this will be interesting to see. Yeah, frankly, it's not the Cowboys to me that makes it to must win. I mean, everybody's like, oh, it's the Cowboys got to must win. The Cowboys are beyond catching. If you guys fall apart and lose this division, it's a monumental collapse. To me, the thing is that it makes it must win is that the Giants play the fucking Browns, and they might as well just stay home and chalk it up. That's a win.
Yeah, I don't expect to gain any ground on the Giants. I mean, that's going to be a Giants victory. If Cleveland was ever going to win a game this year, God, please let it be this week.
Yeah, no shit. Hey, the Redskins are capable of winning this game tomorrow. So don't go counting your chickens. However, Philadelphia has turned out to be who we thought they were.
Thank God.
They're exactly who we thought they were going to be.
Good. Dude, Dallas, man, I give all credit to the offensive line. It just wears defenses down. Things may be tight in the first half, but in the second half, man, you mm-hmm. look at every single defense they played in the second half. There they were with their hands on their hips, huffing and puffing, dude. They just kept knocking them on their ass over and over. And that's when they start getting those back-to-back long time-consuming drives.
I understand that completely. The good thing about it is that we got a quarterback that can come in and put it up quick. We got some wide receivers. That is for damn sure.
That's for sure.
Now the other night they did relatively score quick, but because why not? The Packers they're putting third string safeties out at cornerback. They can't catch Pierre Garçon. They're not gonna touch DeSean Jackson. They're just not. So you can't help it but score 42 against them. Sorry bastards.
Well, for the third time this year, I heard another guy say it. And it was Joe Flacco. He said, "Man, they just scored every time they got the ball."
Well, we're not going to say that tomorrow.
No?
No, I'm hoping not. Hell no, man. Hell no. This is going to be one of those games where I think you're right. Whoever gets the most most punts, whoever receives the most punts has the best chance of winning the game.
I just don't think you're going to be able to keep up with them.
We'll find out. We will find out.
Yes, we will. Die! Die, Redskins, die!
Fuck those Cowboys. Honestly, you white people have screwed up the whole goddamn country.
What?
Ha 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 All right.
You are gay.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
If I had the chance to sit down with them over a poutine, I think we'd all be like lovely people together.
When I was eating that, I looked at my wife and I said, you realize I'm eating a poutine. And you know her. She doesn't get any of these jokes for the show, but she remembered that one.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. And the dude that came jumping over all the tourists, and I caught him. I mean, the dude came right on top of me. I caught him. He wrapped his arms around me and his legs around me, and the next thing I know, he had my hand. He's practiced at this, and we're like dancing. He didn't expect I was going to spin him around. As soon as I realized what he was doing, I spun him around and dipped him. And he, as soon as I started to dip him, man, I felt him tighten up. Shit, don't drop me.
I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
Oh, my. I will say this, too, and this is going to sound extremely racist, but I was in Koreatown, so there's tons of Koreans around, and I believe there's only 14 Korean women, and they just keep walking by and turning around and walking back. I kept saying to my wife, look, there goes number three. There's number seven.
Oh,
number nine.
Man.
And you know what? That doesn't sound racist because they do all go to plastic surgeons to try to look the same.
Jeez.
It's the facts.
All right. Well, have a great Thanksgiving.
I will.
Except for one thing.
Well, no, I'm going to have a great Thanksgiving. That's right.
All right.
I'm going to have a great Thanksgiving because the Redskins are going to do some run stuffing. See that there, what I just did?
Oh, are they really?
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Okay.
All right. Next week, I'm going to get back to drinking during the show. Because last week was so much fun.
You better get the Redskins defense out of there this week.
Yo, yeah, I already did.
All right. Well, everybody have a great Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving.
And go Browns. Go Browns. Win a game.
Go Browns.
If you don't win this one, then I hope you lose them all.
Go Browns. Go Browns. And let's see. Who was the other one I wanted to have say go? Go Saints. Jeff Fisher. Three games to go, and he's the all-time.
Right. Yeah, that's right. He's on.
That's
he's,
right. Three
can,
to go.
He can hit it this year.
No, he's got the Saints, Patriots, Falcons, and Seahawks. He's going to get it before Christmas.
All right. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour. Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater. Your rings are a lie. You back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
With OneNet on Vodafone Business, you can make and receive landline calls from your mobile, meaning your office could be here. Or here. Or more likely, here.
Hello, Saunders Designs. How can I help?
Your office can be anywhere with our OneNet virtual landline. Available on our new and limited data plans. The future is exciting. Ready? Vodafone Business.
Max download upload speeds apply to data. Coverage may vary. Unlimited and OneNet terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.